The Collection, written by R.A. Sears, also known as Darkchild Audio.
Oh, wow! May I look at them closer, Grandma?
The young child with brilliant blue eyes smiled up at the family's matron. She returned his bright expression, eyes crinkling ever so slightly at the edges. Absolutely, my little angel. She leaned down and scooped her hands beneath his arms, lifting him easily up to her level so he could get a better look at the display board on the wall. His eyes widened.
They're beautiful, he practically squealed.
She couldn't resist a little laugh at his innocence. They are, aren't they? Butterflies were pinned to the board, protected by a pristine covering of glass. All hues of the rainbow were displayed in glorious technicolor, countered by saturated blacks and shades of white that almost seemed to glow with some sort of inner light. He pointed pudgy fingers to each of them in turn, and Grandma patiently and joyfully explained their names and when she'd collected each of them. That was one of the most vivid memories of his childhood. Being an adult in his own right, Thomas felt the memories flooding back to him as he stood before the very same display board in his grandmother's home. She came to stand beside him, her gait only barely shuffling, and a touch slower than it had been nearly 30 years ago. She wrapped her arm around his waist and rested her head against his shoulder. She was still the picture of health and beauty, despite being in her 70s. "You always have loved those butterflies, Thomas. I can't tell you how many times you asked me to tell you about all of them, even though you knew all of their names and stories by heart." He put his arm around her shoulders and gave a gentle squeeze. "How could I not be fascinated with them? I've never seen anything like your collection, Grandma. Outside of museums, that is." Her laughter was soft, subdued. "Someday, they'll all be yours, you know." Thomas chuckled. "Please, at the rate you're going, you'll outlive all of us and still look like you did when I was a child, Grandma." She gasped in shock.
"Thomas, don't say such things."
Her eyes were downcast and her voice quieted. "It was hard enough losing your father. It goes against nature to see your children buried." He nodded, eyes focusing on a newer specimen in the second shadow box. The wings were a brilliant blue between the stained glass black outlines. The hue was very similar to his father's kind eyes, similar to his own eyes, in a way that chilled the blood in his veins. He didn't mention it aloud, but he knew his body involuntarily stiffened within his grandmother's warm embrace. Sitting behind his desk at the station, Thomas pored over dozens of folders from the past 5 decades. Frustrated, everything before his vision starting to blur and meld together into an indecipherable mess of black and white, he raked fingers through his already disheveled, straw-colored hair.
"What's on your mind, detective?"
The voice over his shoulder made him jump, much to his chagrin. He exhaled heavily, looking up at his fellow detective, Joyce Narrows.
"I just had a theory about the rash of missing kids around here. You ever notice that it happens in waves about every 10 years? Always in the autumn, too."
He handed her one of the folders and she flipped through it, hazel eyes soaking up the information like a sponge.
"Huh," she muttered, more to herself than to him. It's an interesting theory, not gonna lie. Maybe something like a human trafficking ring that rolls through every decade for fresh products? I know how you are when you get a hunch, Rollins. Roll with it. Thomas nodded, taking more notes and connecting the dots. But in his mind, none of them led to a human trafficking ring. His hunches were often correct, and he hoped with every ounce of his soul that his gut wasn't right on this one. Mrs. Collins, tell me more about your version of the events. I'm sure you've done this more than you care to count, but please, just once more, for my records. The woman on the other side of the glass looked haggard, dark circles beneath her eyes as if she hadn't slept for days. Her belly was still slightly swollen and visible through the basic clinical outfit she wore, as she'd just given birth 2 weeks prior. Her hair was coarse and dry. She licked her chapped lips before she spoke, red-rimmed brown eyes casting about before she brought her mouth closer to the receiver they communicated through.
Are you recording this? All the others I talked with said they would, but they deleted it once I told them the truth.
Her voice was raspy, as if liquid hadn't touched her lips in days. Thomas nodded, showing her the portable interview microphone he brought along for occasions just like this one. I'm not here to make any judgments, Mrs. Collins. I just want your story. Eyes darted back and forth again before she leaned in closer, her gaze locked on his.
I didn't hurt my baby.
Her voice cracked and she inhaled deeply, lower lip trembling as she fought to keep her composure.
What kind of monster would do something like that? She didn't just disappear, either. I didn't kill her and get rid of the evidence. Why do you think they couldn't find any trace of her?
A single tear trailed down her cheek, but her voice became firm as she went on, her words coming out in a rush.
I don't know what did it, or how, but something stole the life right out of my baby girl. Her name was Shauna. Did they tell you that much, Detective? My baby girl, wherever she ended up, deserves to be honored by the name she was given. Shauna was 2 weeks old, and something sucked the life right out of her while I held her in my arms.
Thomas fought to keep his expression neutral. He said nothing as she continued.
She was almost asleep, and I was singing to her, and her little face scrunched up. And she started to cry. But babies do that, you know? Gas causes them pain, burps hurt them. The tags in their clothing can cause almost as much discomfort as a sprained ankle would to an adult. Everything is new to them, and all pain is felt so acutely. But anyway, she started slapping at her chest, almost like we would at a mosquito. I unzipped her onesie and there was this tiny little red spot on her chest, like she'd been poked by a needle. I checked the inside of her clothes to make sure there was nothing there that could have caused it, but her crying kept getting worse. Nothing would soothe her, no matter what I did. None of the songs she'd come to love. Not her special soft blanket I knitted while she grew inside of me. Nothing.
Thomas nodded for her to go on, not wanting to speak and interrupt her train of thought.
And then she started to change right in front of my eyes. Right there in my arms.
She bit her lip and closed her eyes for a moment, more tears rolling down her cheeks as she bit back the sobs.
She started to wither away, Detective. Her whole body collapsing in on itself as she dried up like a raisin. Until she was nothing but a still, silent husk that crumbled right into fucking dust. That's why there's no trace of her anywhere. She evaporated into nothingness, like she'd never been born. I swear to you, I'm not crazy. I didn't hallucinate this. It wasn't some postpartum psychosis fever dream I made up to justify murdering my own baby. Something stole the life right out of my baby girl. My Shauna. Do you understand, Detective Rollins?
Thomas's heart ached for this woman. But could something so unreasonably fantastical be the truth? He was startled from his thoughts at the twin thud of Jonna Collins thumping her fists on the other side of the safety glass.
I don't matter anymore, Detective, but you find whatever the fuck did this and stop it. Do you hear me? Don't let another family lose their child to this monster, demon, whatever it is.
Orderlies rushed over, one brandishing a syringe he plunged into her neck before they began dragging her away. Jonna slumped in their arms, managing to summon the energy to raise her eyes to look into Thomas's imploringly. She mouthed the words,
"Please, please, stop this."
Putting the recorder away in a protected inner pocket of his jacket, Thomas quietly vowed, "I will." Another week had passed, and Thomas knew what he had to do. He couldn't share the information with anyone. Much like Jonna Collins, nobody would believe him. They'd have him in a padded cell right next to hers, and that was the worst-case scenario he couldn't allow to happen. It stopped now. No more children would be taken. With a hardened heart, he walked into the living room, a space that had always been a safe haven for him, a place of comfort, now hummed with danger, with threats unspoken that marched down his skin like a thousand ants, raising goosebumps in their wake. He made no attempt to hide his approach, and she sat in her rocking chair, facing him with a wistful look on her face. "Grandma," he said softly, not liking how reedy and childlike he sounded. She shook her head with a small smile barely curving her lips, blue eyes so like his own gazing at him with nothing but love in their oceanic depths. "Oh, Thomas, you always were too smart for your own good, my little angel."
"You know why I'm here, then."
A humorless smirk twisted her visage into something menacing, and his pulse pounded in his veins as the air around them seemed to thicken.
"I can only assume you've gotten some foolish notion into that head of yours that you're going to stop me. Stop what I've been doing for all these years."
She pushed herself to her feet, and any signs of old age or decrepitude fell from her like a veil being dropped. Her body was the voluptuous hourglass it had once been from the old photographs of her and his grandfather when they were in their 20s. Even younger than Thomas was now. No wrinkles creased her flawless skin, as smooth as the sea in the eye of a storm. Her long hair was no longer gray and flat, but golden, voluminous curls that would have made any woman envious. She looked almost comical in the nightgown of an old woman. Thomas took a step backwards, hand hovering over the gun on his hip. "How?" was all he could manage to say. "How is this possible?" His grandmother's voice was positively silken as she spoke, slowly walking closer to him. "I won't bore you with the details, Thomas, but I'm sure you've gotten a fairly good idea of the how at this point." He balled his hand into a fist, muscles flexing as he clenched his jaw. "But why? How could you literally steal the life from others? And not just children, but my father? Your own son?" She flinched and Thomas drew his handgun, his aim steady as he leveled the barrel at her chest. "Oh, so you do feel bad about killing Dad. Let me guess. He figured out what you were doing and tried to stop you?" His grandmother wrapped her arms around herself, seeming small and fragile for a fraction of a second. "You saw him in the case, Thomas. There's no point in lying to you about it. I am what I am, and I am older than you can possibly imagine. The family you grew up in is not my first. Not by a long shot." She drew a pair of blades from behind her back. They were long and thin, a mild green patina covering the length of the short swords that eerily resembled pins. "And it won't be the last, either. But now it's time for me to move on, and that means putting you down. You'll become my angel for real, Thomas, and you'll finally get the wings you always deserved." The roar of the gunshot was deafening in the small space. The percussive slam as the bullet ripped through Grandma's chest would echo in Thomas's ears until the day he died. But somehow, the body didn't fall. A blossom of red appeared in the center of her chest, and any semblance of kindness was gone from her eyes when they snapped open to look up at him. Thomas was a trained marksman. He knew he hadn't missed the shot. He blinked, and she was gone. Not dead, not fallen down, just no longer in his line of vision. He felt movement behind him and tried to dodge, but it was already too late. The thin dagger emerged from his chest, having stabbed clean through his body and emerging from the front. It had pierced his heart. The pain was unlike anything he'd ever experienced before, stealing the breath from his lungs and trying to stop his limbs from moving. Wheezing heavily, blood trickling from the corner of his mouth, he spun on his heels, grabbing the other blade from his grandmother's shocked hands and plunging it into her own heart. Blue lightning arced through the air, passing from her body to his, as Grandma's wordless wail of disbelief shook the very foundation of her home. Thomas sank to the floor, some unseen force ripping the blade out of his body. He watched as the beautiful body of the woman before him shriveled and shrank, just as Jonna Collins had described the demise of her baby daughter. But at the end of the process, rather than turning to dust, a swallowtail butterfly with brilliant yellow and blue wings was all that remained in her place as both blades clattered to the floor. Thomas darted forward, capturing the winged insect in his hands carefully. He wasn't surprised that the wound in his chest had healed over from the exchange of energy. Nothing surprised him anymore. but if there was a chance the entity he'd known as Grandma could escape and continue on as she had, there was only one thing he could do. Getting to his feet, he opened the second shadow box, grabbing a spare silver pin in his fingers. Holding the beautiful, struggling butterfly against the cork, he stabbed the pin square through its thorax. It fluttered vainly for several moments before finally stilling. He watched every second of it, unwilling to dare walking away until he was certain that she was well and truly dead. Closing the shadow box, Thomas sighed, running his fingers over the smooth scar that rested directly above his heart. He wasn't sure exactly how it worked, but if he had absorbed the energy from all of the lives she'd stolen, he'd have more than enough time to do some good in the world, even if it meant moving around when his unaging face began to draw attention. He'd never have to take another life as she had, and this curse, blessing, whatever it was, would eventually die with him. Hey everyone, Randy here from Dark Child Audio. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this, the first of two stories that I will be reading for the 100 Scary Stories collaboration going on with a bunch of different VAs and narrators here on the YT. This story is actually based on a nightmare my father had that he told me about when I was a kid. Basic premise is the same, but the details are very much different, so remember that when you're feeling stuck and like you don't have any ideas, you can take inspiration from anywhere and anything, including a nightmare that was mentioned to you in passing probably 25 years ago. So I hope that you enjoyed this. There will be more regularly scheduled audio ASMR RP style audios coming out next week. And I hope to catch you all then. So until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Stay spooky, y'all.